What's up, guys? This is Chris from the House of Jordans podcast and a proud member of the Bench Clear Media Network. We've got a very special episode for you this week. We are departing from our normal podcast format to bring you an exclusive interview that Christina conducted with Tyson Beck as part of her Christina's Corner video series. If you like what you hear, you can go over to our YouTube channel and get more of Christina's Corner's exclusive interviews. And while you're there, you might as well subscribe and comment on one of our videos, because as soon as we get to 1,000 subscribers, which is coming up very soon, we're going to be giving away a 2018-19 Prism Cello box to anybody who has subscribed and who has commented on one of our videos. You got Luca Silver rookies in there. You got all types of nice stuff in that box. We can't wait to give it away. Next week, we'll be back to the normal House of Jordans podcast format. But for this week, sit back and enjoy this exclusive episode of Christina's Corner.
Welcome to Christina's Corner. I'm here with a man who needs no introduction in the hobby, Mr. Tyson Beck. So, Tyson, first off, let me say hello. Let me say thank you so much for taking the time today to sit down with me and discuss all of your great work in the hobby, as well as some of your art aspects that we'll get into in a little bit. So let me kick it off. You collect hobby cards.
Firstly, thanks for the nice introduction, Christina. Glad to be on, happy to be on, and very fortunate to speak to you as well. I used to collect cards when I was younger, just heaps of basketball cards. And also AFL trading cards. You wouldn't probably know of them, but they're just a sport in Australia. So I collected a lot of that, which is like football sort of thing, art football, Aussie rules. But NBA, huge, collected. I've still got thousands of trading cards. I never threw them out. They're just in a box in my garage. I never got any Jordan cards because I only started collecting in – actually, no, sorry, I do. I got a Jordan Wizards card, but I don't have any Jordan Bulls card. I started collecting in 1999, and I definitely fell out collecting once I probably hit 18, 20 years old. And then recently, now that I'm doing more work in the card industry, I've kind of found myself collecting cards again.
Sweet. And who is predominantly your PC, your personal collection person? Do you have one?
No, I don't. When I grew up, I think that's kind of a large reason why I kind of got pushed into like art and design, because literally I just collected cards because I liked the look of them. So I never had, I would like say there'd be like a, you know, the 2001, you know, I'd be like, oh, these look really nice. Well, I'm just trying to collect every player of that. So I don't have one particular player I collect at all. With everything that I've kept, I actually look back at it recently, and it's just like a whole wide range of players. I never collect one player.
I like it. Okay. And do you have a favorite card or set of your collection that really speaks to you, or you always go back to?
My favorite card was, I'm not sure what year it is because I don't have it on me, but my favorite card is Tracy McGrady. It's like a game-worn All-Star jersey or All-Star warm-up jersey patch. And the only reason that's my favorite was because, like, I'd buy packs all the time and I'd never get anything good out of it. Like, I'd never get anything special. And then that was the first one. I was just like, holy crap, like, there's a jersey, like, patch thing. Like, oh, it's from the All-Star weekend. This is nuts. So, for me, that's my favorite card still, just because I remember that moment of getting it. And, like, it's literally like I was running around the house, like, going, like, oh, this is worth, like, $100 probably. I don't know what it was worth. But, like, I was going, yeah, I think it was just that moment. And, for me, that's still special. So, that's my favorite trading card ever.
Nice. I think everyone in the hobby can relate to that feeling of pulling like a card and being like, oh my God, and getting super stoked about it.
I wasn't chasing a Tracy McGrady card. I think it was just like, I was just waiting for that first good card to pop out of a pack. And that was the first one.
Nice. So regarding your work with the industry, and Top specifically, how did you get involved with Top Project 2020? I know you also design for them other sets, but particularly Topps 2020.
So how I got involved with Topps 2020, I was actually in New York, in where their office is, and I was coming in to meet some of the staff that I work with the Topps Fire brand that that I work on. And I literally was just doing a tour of the office bumped into someone there, and they said, you know, I've worked with him before at Topps, and he said, oh, we've got this really cool project that's coming in, you know, next year. This was in November 2019. And he said, you know, we'd love to, you know, speak to you about this project that's coming up. And I said, yeah, like, I'm always for it. Let me know. We couldn't find a time to do it while I was in New York because I was pretty rushed there. But, yeah, then I came back once I flew all the way back to Australia, set up a phone call, and got given all the details to it, and I was just like, I was blown away, because like, I knew like it would be a big thing, because like, from my understanding, this hasn't been done before. I mean, it may have, but I just haven't seen it. But yeah, like I said, from my understanding, it's something new, something fresh. And you know, I knew that like, some people wouldn't like it at the start, and it would take people time to grow into it, but it's for what it's now at, like 45 cards or something deep. Like, I think people have now, it's grown on to people, and people are now understanding, like, oh, okay, like, you know, there's actually a purpose and desire here to collect these cards from these different artists, because, you know, a particular person might hate my work, and they might hate 18 other people's. But if there's just one artists that they relate to in that set, well, then that's great. They can go collect their cards. So I think that's the cool thing, because usually, like, if a trading card set comes out, like, you probably either like or dislike the design. But with this, it's 20 different ones. So surely there's something out there for every collector. And even if it's just one artist, like I mentioned, that's great. You can just go collect that. If there's a bunch of artists, or you just want to collect all the all the artists of one player, that's cool. So I think there's just so many different ways you can collect in this series. Super like, humble and of the opportunity. And it was just kind of like a spur of moment, walking, bumped into someone in the office, and they were just like, yeah, we want you to kind of work on this project. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
That's awesome. Are you excited about a particular card?
I don't know. Like, so for me, like, I'm a basketball guy. Like, I got to be real here. So, like, you know, I would literally, like, if I could do a basketball set, like, I'd literally start crying probably. Like, but I know that's not realistic, because Topps don't hold the license to it. So there's nothing like that. There's not like a player that like would be like a childhood hero of mine or anything, because baseball was never shown on TV in Australia growing up. So. But for me, if I had to pick a player, it would probably just be Derek Jeter or Mike Trout, just because it seems to be, like, I guess what the collectors are gravitating towards. So I think that's kind of good in my sense, because I feel like there's a bit of pressure to make a good card for those, because if you slip up on those, then people will probably be angry. But I think, yeah, Jeter and Trout, just because of the popularity surrounding them. And obviously, like, I've heard of nearly all of the baseball players, but it's just like, I never was like, none of them was a childhood hero to mine. So I can't really kind of, you know, it's not like, you know, like a Kobe or, you know, something in a basketball set. So yeah.
Yes. Totally understand. I'm not a baseball card collector at all.
Okay.
But I will admit, like, I have purchased, I believe, 5 or 6 now of the Project.
Oh, yeah.
Because every day, as soon as they go live, I'm on the website checking, and I'm like, okay, who's out today? And I have this very long spreadsheet that I'm keeping the analytics of, like, how many cards are being sold, when they're coming out, paired with. So, like, is that impacting the sales? House of Jordans is very, like, card market heavy. Bringing that same focus to
so market. Many factors going into print runs, from my understanding. Like, I guess it depends about the player, but then it also depends on, like, who you're paired up with on that day, because if you're paired up with, like, like I mentioned, a Trout or Jeter, you're probably going to sell more because people are going to purchase the two-pack bundles.
Right.
And then also if you get like a – because it only runs Monday to Friday. It doesn't run on weekends. So if you get like a Friday drop, that's kind of good because then you've got your card and with the paired with the other artists. You're not competing with anyone else on Saturday for the 48-hour window. And the same with Monday. I guess if you get a Monday drop, then you've got your own window that no other card's there. Whereas if you get a Tuesday to Thursday one, you're sharing that 48-hour window with a card either way, if that makes sense. So I think there's a lot of timing, but there's nothing like scheduled in. I think Topps is doing a great idea of keeping people guessing because you don't know what's coming out.
No.
And that's to me, that's cool. And I know some people might be getting frustrated, but like at the end of the day, like people are now checking the site every day. And I think that's a good thing for Topps because like there's not like, oh, okay, a Trout comes out on the 14th of May. Oh, I'm not going to look at Topps. You got to look every day to see what's out. So I think it's good marketing. It's a good idea they're doing.
Cool. And then you have card collectors like me who I'm on there not collecting a player or an artist, but like I'm totally looking at just the design and I'm like, do I need this in my PC? So it's definitely hitting a very broad range of collectors, which is cool.
And that's cool to hear that because like I mentioned before, that's how I started gravitating towards cards. I just liked the design of them. I just liked because outside of like magazine posters, which was huge. I don't know if you used to get like Slam magazine, pull out like posters from that. I used to be huge on that.
Okay.
So they'd always have like a Slam of the Month, Slam of the Month or whatever they called it. That was cool to kind of pull out that. But outside of like the Slam posters, it was like there was no printed material in Australia. So it was like trading cards was like the only thing you could kind of lean towards. And I must have had some kind of connection with creativity, design art, whatever you want to call it, when I was younger because I literally did gravitate towards the cards that I thought looked nice.
So will you walk us through your process for the reimagining of your Project 2020 cards? Like, so you get the card, I assume Topps sent you all 20 of the cards or at least pictures.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you get it and then what happens?
Okay, so I've got all 20, just like it's like a scan version of the original, and basically there's no rules. They just do whatever you want to do. So, I mean, that's cool. That's the best client to have as an artist. They give us a schedule of like I think 3 to 5 cards at a time, and dates we got to hit to create it by. So, like, I haven't done all 20. You know, I've only worked on a handful at the moment, but I've got all the cards sitting there, but they'll give me the dates to work on. So, you know, I've got George Brett coming up and I've got Gibson coming up. I can't remember the third one coming up, but so they're my next two that should be coming out. Jackie Robinson. So I don't have, like, my Trout and Jeter will probably be late in the set. So I'll get to that when it comes out. But in terms of like making it, it's literally just free range. There's literally not any direction. And for me, that's cool. It's literally just we just create something, send it back to them, and I'm assuming they get it approved by the MLB or something. But there hasn't been any issues. There's been no back and forth so far on any card. It is really cool. And I guess that's what they're trying to do is trying to make it like as much as the artist, like it's their card sort of thing. Like they don't want to kind of, put their feet and put their, mess with what the artist's ideas and creativity is. But, it's really nice project. But the fact that we only have like one card dropping every 2 weeks, it gives us an amazing amount of time to work on these cards because I'm so used to kind of like doing card projects where Topps where it's like I do like, 200 trading cards or something and they're all templated and you got to do them like, maybe over a quick amount of time. But this is nice. It's like you've got like literally 3 weeks to work on a card. So you can actually devote all your time into making something look really nice. You don't have to rush it. And that's pretty cool to me.
Yeah. And what about your artistic process? So what goes through your mind when you see this card and you're like, okay, I have my Gibson coming up. You're like looking at the card.
So for me, it ultimately, I don't want to stray too far from the original card. I want to pay homage to the original card because, you know, at the end of the day, the collectors, these cards are iconic. They were chosen for a reason. So I don't want to kind of recreate something brand new. I kind of want to just, for me, I'm calling it more remixing. I'm remixing these cards. I'm not recreating them. And I think that's key for me. Other artists are totally remaking them and other ones are similarly remixing them or just putting their style on the current template. So for me, I just thought, like, I want, you know, you could hold the original up and then hold mine up next to it and it'll be, it'll look like the same card but just done in a different way, different style. So for how I'm doing it, all my 20 are going to sit as a family. They're going to sit as a consistent theme. So if you got all 20 of my cards, they're going to look, they're going to flow. They're going to have a generic style to them that merge together. So that style is, I was literally just thinking of these cards and I was like, it took me back to like school where what I would do, I'd just sketch and just draw and play around on my notepad. So I was thinking like this style of like, you know, basically just like scrapbooking. So it's like, imagine like a kid at school, just scrapbooking, trying to recreate these cards. So, you know, ripping out elements, putting little, you know, stickers on, little, you know, pieces of paper, and basically turning it into like a scrapbook collage. So every one of these cards was literally just going to be a scrapbook collage style of the original card. So for me, like I've done that kind of style in the past of my work, but I don't have like a distinctive style. My style is forever evolving and changing. So I think this one perfectly fit the project because we are talking about old cards. And for me, we're talking about cards in the late 80s or early 90s. And like early 90s, I was in school. So I was like, what would I be doing with these cards? I remember drawing basketball cards and playing around with them. So I was like scrapbooking. That for me, that's personal. So that's me.
Yeah, I really love the design of your cards for Project 2020, for sure. And I will say that though I don't collect baseball, if I did, the one set I would collect would be the Topps Fire because those those cards are beautiful. Like beautiful.
That's really cool to hear. Yeah, I mean, I started off doing football ones. I've actually got like there's actually a whole there's like literally heaps, like it's just my room sort of thing, office. I've actually got heaps of spares just sitting around, but that started in 2014 and I started with NFL, so it was Topps Fire football, and for me they just literally reached out to me on Instagram, so they just saw my work and we'll just say, do you want to do some trading cards? And they were just thinking of me doing an insert, like, you know, 15 cards or something. They were like, how about we just get you to do the entire set and then just kind of have it as your offset brand? And that was kind of cool. Like, it was literally just like a dream come true. It was just like, I'm not trading, you know, I'm not creating one trading card. I'm creating a whole set, including the packaging, everything. So Topps Fire was great. There were still huge limitations on what we could do because, like, we called it Topps Fire, but then like the NFL wouldn't allow us to store any jerseys. So we were thinking of having like, you know, jerseys on fire and ripping and all this, but it was just like, oh, that had to get taken back. But it was cool because Topps were interested if my work could transfer. Like it looks great on a computer because I was like doing heaps of wallpapers back then. So it was like, it looks good big, but how does it transfer to something small? And you know, I definitely, like, I was on card forums. I've read stuff on social media. Like, I just like to get feedback over the time. And I've done, you know, probably at least 15 sets now. Now I'm only doing inserts. I'm not doing, like, the Topps Baseball now, Fire. I'm not doing the whole sets, doing inserts, which is cool. I can focus on a smaller run. But for me, it's funny because, like, I would, like, get on Facebook when it, like, and Topps warned me. They were like, don't look at social media. Don't go on forums when your first cards drop. And I was like, nah, I'm going to do it because it's like a, And yeah, like I saw huge negative stuff, people saying, you know, this is trash, like you're ruining the card industry, all this. But for me, I thought, no, this is a good thing because that means we're providing something different and it's out of the norm. And this is what we wanted to provide. Like I'm so used to like, especially baseball cards, like they're just so conservative. They're so like, you know, well, to me, they're boring, like because they're so conservative and traditional. So I like stuff that's a little bit different. And from my understanding, I don't have the numbers or anything, but Topps said like the Topps Fire brand was crazy popular with like kids. Like the sales were like really, really good with the younger generation. And that was the whole reason to do this. We weren't trying to market this for 40 plus, you know, the people that have been collecting cards for 40 plus years. We're trying to market this to the new age of, trading card collectors and try and get people that probably are used to seeing these cool graphics on social media or designs, edits, whatever you want to call them, and then see those now on trading cards and go, oh, I'm going to start collecting. And as soon as you start getting a few kids, like you know everything, like as soon as you start seeing a few kids, like if you go to school and the popular kids got these trading cards, then everyone's going to gravitate and do it. So I guess it was just more so getting a product out there that was more targeted for children and the younger teenagers and stuff like that rather than the traditional collectors. And but, yeah, like for me that was cool because that's the stuff that I'm into and I'm more than happy to read through all the negative shit that gets talked about my work online because at the end of the day it doesn't bother me. I'm a bit thick-skinned after working with Topps for a while.
Oh, that's good. The hobby can be filled with, unfortunately, filled with negative voices at times. So So I'm glad you pay no heed to it because, like I said, those sets are beautiful. I really enjoy them. And I think it's cool that you design your cards now.
That's pretty cool. We did some signings on like, we did wall prints and stuff, fine art prints, I think they called them. So we signed those like probably like 5 years ago, but never trading cards. But yeah, now they just send out a bunch of trading cards to me that I sign. And for me, like, Topps is still like arguably my best client or my favorite client because, like, at the end of the day, it's like, what other client do I have that allows me to have my name on my work and my signature? Like, there's none. Like, and I'm so used to having my name hidden away. As a creative on my work. And they're like, this wasn't me approaching them with the idea. They literally came up with the idea saying like, we want you to sign cards and put your name on it and put your logo on there and have a bio about you on the back of your card. Like, you know, I can't say the same thing about other clients. Like it's literally like, yeah, it's a bit of a game changer. So it's definitely changed my mindset in terms of like, trying to grow my personal brand and trying to actually get my name more out there rather than doing all this work and just posting it myself on social media. But then actually when the client puts it out, like my name's nowhere on it or anything. So for me, I'm definitely trying to align more with like brand collaborations. And I have done a lot recently, but I think Topps definitely put that fuel to my fire where it's like, I gotta start having my name and I gotta get some credit for my work rather than just kind of being hidden away doing this work.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I think that set is, and your work on that set is probably the prettiest cards I've seen since the iconic late 90s inserts of. Yeah, so I hold you up there with Arena Design. So
that's very warming to hear that. I mean, it's great. Anytime I can get positive feedback, I love it. Negative feedback, it's like, yeah, whatever. Like it's just not for you. But like the positive feedback, it doesn't come in herds. So I mean, if I definitely hear it, that's amazing. I love it.
All right. So let's transition over to your art and what you do professionally with pretty much like every large brand. I think it would be easier to name brands you don't work with or haven't worked with in the past than it would be to run through the list of brands that you've worked with. Yeah. So congratulations. Like I said, you are legends.
It's showing my age, though. It's showing my age. I'm starting to get old.
No, not at all. Not at all. So what was your first artistic aspiration?
Honestly, it was just my first aspiration was just to make people happy, because like what first started with me was like, I was on forums. I don't know if you remember like the forums of like mixmakers.net. That was like a big basketball forum back in the day. I don't know.
I will be honest. I'm from a very small state in the US where we only, like when we say like, oh, I'm watching basketball, we mean the women's college team. So I'm from Connecticut, so like UConn Huskies, like it's all about the I was never an NBA fan until later in life, because when you watched women on TV, like when you watch basketball on TV, it was always the UConn women, so I missed all of that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, and I was very much into soccer and watching like the MLS like become large in the US and continuing to grow, or football.
I know. Yeah, soccer we call it, I think.
All right.
I don't know, it's a bit weird. You offend some people if you call it soccer, but I think it's called soccer in Australia, I'm pretty sure.
So I got into the NBA late, and then I started collecting myself in 2016.
Super late. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. So what do you play or listen to when you're working in your studio office time?
Oh, sorry, what was that?
What do you play? Like, what's on your playlist, or what do you listen to? Do you listen to stuff?
So when the NBA season's going, I literally just have League Pass on. We've got international League Pass. So, like, I literally just bounce around whatever fourth quarter's on.
Okay.
Like, I'm a Laker fan, so I try to watch all the Laker games. You know, over the last, like, 20 years, I've definitely watched 99% of them. I'll try and because they're on at a good time here. They start Laker home games started about 2 p.m. here in the afternoon, so it's an amazing time. Like, especially if you're working from home, like literally you just chuck it on, and yeah, you don't have to worry about like, you know, because I know the East Coast people have to stay up really late to watch a Lakers game, and we don't have that issue. So I'll just have League Pass, and I'll just bounce around the fourth quarters. League Pass is just amazing. Like, literally, there's always a good game on. So, but when there's the NBA games run from like 10:30 a.m. to about 4:30 p.m. here, so that pretty much covers my working day. But outside of that, I'll definitely have just Netflix on, put documentaries on. But I don't really kind of watch – I don't watch movies. I literally am not a movie guy. I don't watch any movies. The only movies I watch are, like, old school, like, Adam Sandler films. I don't really know why, but they're just – I don't know. I like them.
What's your favorite Adam Sandler film?
Oh, man, dude, there's literally, like, 8 films that are all tied as the best. I don't have a favorite, literally. Like, Billy Madison, Mr. D.
My favorite
Waterboy,
Happy Gilmore or Billy Madison.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
Happy Milk Gilmore's good. And then some of his recent I like Click. The Click was a good film. He's just done it, but I know like he gets a bit trolled, and you know, just being crappy actor and crappy storylines, but I love the films. I don't know. It's a bit of fun. That's My Boy. I like that one. That was a more recent one, but yeah, they're just a bit of a laugh. Like, I guess that's a bit me as a person. Like, I'm a bit kind of laid back. I don't take things seriously. So maybe that's why I kind of connect with those films. But yeah, I don't watch really other movies. Like, I've literally never watched a Marvel film. I don't get into any of that stuff. Anime, like, superhero stuff, I don't do any of that. I'm more just sport. And music, I don't know. I feel like I work better with like visual stuff in the background, not like I'm watching it all times, but music, I just listen to American hip hop. So whatever's trendy at the time, I literally just, you know, so at the moment it's like Post Malone and Drake. But when I was growing up, it definitely wasn't Post Malone and Drake. It was just I just seem to just listen to whatever's trendy. So, yeah.
I like it. Do you think that what you watch or listen to influences your work while you're, like, if you're listening to something while you're making, like, a Project 2020 card, do you think that it influences at all?
I think it might influence a bit because, like, it can get the creative juices going. And, like, you know, sometimes, like, it's never – it's hard to be, like, forced to do something with creative work. So, like, you know, a lot of my other work, like, you know, stuff will be, like, I got to deal with a lot of changes and people, like, you know, pushing their ideas my way. And I know they're, like, you know, even if they're a shit idea, I still got to do it. Like, so a lot of the times music will kind of, like, get you through that, like, just keep you motivated sort of thing, like, grind through it. Like, because at the end of the day, like, you know, I'm not going to, like, sit here and advocate, like, oh, this is an amazing job, this is the best job in the world, like, you know, at the end, like, it's got issues, like, you know, it's got good days and bad days, just like any other field. So, I think, yeah, definitely, music and then also just like sport, gets me through it. But then also sport actually helps me, influence my work, and especially a lot, like, I do a lot of personal pieces as well, just put stuff up, because a lot of the client work I just don't share online, my sports work. I don't know, just because I don't like to flood everyone on my social media. I just kind of like to post a couple times a week. So I think that the athletes themselves, like, they're just my biggest inspiration. Like, you know, someone like Russell Westbrook, like, people might not like him because, you know, he might seem a bit arrogant and selfish, whatever what people want to say. But for me, like, I'm more inspired by him than, like, a guy like LeBron, because, like, you know, Westbrook's, like, he takes no days off. The same as, like, Damian Lillard. Like, he's out there playing 100% at all times. There's no load management. There's no, like, you know, whining to the referees. There's no, like, you know, sitting back, like, not playing defense. Like, these guys are playing 100% at all times. And that's why I love Kobe so much, because, like, he was just, like, that guy that was just, like, and then Sam Jordan's the same. Like, I never grew up. You know, I only started watching in 1999, so I only saw the Bulls Jordan, but now watching the Jordan docos and obviously seeing, like, the old stuff, like I just love the players that literally, like, just put all their heart and soul and then literally they're just playing for the fans at the end of the day. Like, they don't want to let anyone down. So I'm inspired by that in my work. So I definitely, yeah, that's why I do like watching sport in the background. Lillard's having a huge game. He's dropping, like, 50. Like, that, you know, that might kind of help me, you know, push through my day. So I definitely kind of do. It does help me.
Nice. And it, so I guess that pretty much answers my next question, which was, where do you pull from to keep your creative juices and your inspiration going?
Athletes. Yeah, it's definitely the athletes. For it might be like a strange answer to others, because other people might have inspiration from, like, a particular other artist or other designer or, like, a design style. But for me, it's the athletes. Like, what I want is, like, I don't like building, like, templated designs where, like, you could, you know, have this cookie cutter approach where you could just put something in and you can just drop any player in and look nice. Like, I would prefer, not all work allows me to do that, but from my personal choice, I'd prefer, like, an artwork to be personal to that player. So literally, if you saw that player would be proud to kind of take that, hang it up on their wall at home. Essentially, that's kind of how I like to view it as. So it's something personal to them, you know, something their family would, like, relate to, stuff like that. So for me, it's definitely the athletes. They're literally, like, basically my only source of inspiration. Now it's a little bit difficult with no sport on. I'm definitely struggling through it at the moment. So, but I'm just, like, watching a bunch of old footage and stuff like that. I mean, YouTube's great. And I guess, like, social media is just kind of flocked with old sporting games and stuff being re-aired and stuff like that. Like, I've been watching a lot of the NBA stuff on Twitter. They're re-airing games. And the athlete, because in a way, like, the athletes are, you know, they're artists themselves. Like, you know, you look at, like, an Aaron Gordon in the dunk contest, he's an artist. Like, he's not just an athlete. Like, the stuff he's doing in the air, and the same with Jordan, like, back in the dunk contest in his day, like, they're literally their creativity is in the air. So, I mean, it's just wild to say.
Okay. So knowing that your earlier days on the road to your success were all about the grind and at points detrimental to your body and health, do you think that people coming up now are able to take into consideration, like, the time needed to sleep and do you think that they have that ability, or do you think that even people now, like, need to push through that grind like you did? What would you say to someone coming up now who's like, I'm going to follow the Tyson Beck method?
I mean, it's not, at the end of the day, it's not sustainable. Mm-hmm. Like, you can push through and grind, but, like, that grind mentality, it's not sustainable. So do it in your late teens. Do it in your early 20s, but you do not want to be still doing it in your early 20s, I think I meant. So you don't want to be doing it in your 30s, your 40s, whatever, like 50s, 60s. Like, it's just not sustainable. So for me, it's like, literally, I did the grind mentality. I worked my ass off. I was working basically two full-time jobs, 80 to 100 hours a week, just saying no to any project. Having, like, when I first started, like, just doing full-time design jobs in my hometown in Adelaide, and then I'd work a 9-to-5 full-time design job in Adelaide, and then I'd come home and literally work from, you know, I'd have tea or whatever, dinner, and then work from 6 a.m. till 3 a.m. and then wake up at like 8 a.m. get ready for work. So it was like, I'm working, like, that was literally like 365 days a year, pretty much, like, working like 18-hour days. It was just nuts. But for me, it's like, I never not enjoyed it. Like, I enjoyed doing it because I love design. I love what I'm able to do. And, I've definitely teared back. Like, I haven't worked like full-time design jobs in Adelaide for years now. I'm just doing it all, like, all sport, all myself. But that I'm still kind of working quite a bit lately, but I definitely, yeah, I would not say, like, follow my path, do it. Like, it definitely was a struggle, and it's a huge hurdle to overcome. But I mean, nobody knows their body better than themselves. So, like if you feel like things are, things are starting to, you're starting to struggle, like, just stop. Like, it's okay to say no to a project. It's okay to say no to a client. It's okay to take time off work. Like, this whole, like, coronavirus stuff, this pandemic, the lockdown and everything, I'm seeing all these people, like, saying, like, oh, you know, if you're creative and you haven't picked up a new skill, or you haven't done started a new business, or, you know, done a new venture or something, like, you've wasted your time. And it's just like, why does that have to be the mentality? Why can't people just use this time to actually have a break? Like, I don't think the end of the day, it's like, I'm not saying do this, do that. Like, I just think there's not a solution, and there's not a way of doing anything properly. I think it's up to the individual. So I definitely, if you want to do that grind mentality, like, it helped me out. I definitely wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have my client base. I wouldn't have the success and opportunities that I had if I didn't grind. But it just was not sustainable. And especially now with, like, a child with my wife, like, literally, I can't be working all day and night. You know, I gotta help out around the house. So just do it while you can. It's easier. You got less responsibilities when you're young. So, yeah.
And then last question I'm going to pose to you is, who would be your dream client or dream project that, like, you would like to, it might not have to be like your grail project, like the project you're dying to, but to get to do, but what's your next dream or your next step? Or if you want, what's your grail project?
Okay. Well, I've always said, like, I don't want to, like, be designing my whole life and making, I'd like to go back and start teaching people. So maybe like a university lecturer or something like that. I want to give back, because, like, the end of the day is, like, how I started, you know, I studied at a college here, and it was just a horrible experience. Like, and it wasn't just me, like, the majority of people there, like, it was just really bad. Like, it was a graphic design course, but we're, like, doing no graphic design work. It was literally just, like, you know, doing life drawings, like painting nude people and painting color wheels and doing darkroom photography. Like, and it's like, when would you ever need to do darkroom photography now? Like, it just seemed to be a waste. And then when it went to the computer stuff, like, that's what everyone wanted to learn, like how to use InDesign, how to use Illustrator, how to use Photoshop. They just weren't teaching us the right things. They literally were just throwing literally a textbook of like Photoshop for dummies. Like, that's literally what happened. So for me, it was like, I had a bad experience there. I ended up pulling out. I was like, I'm not going to waste a third year doing this. Like, I'm learning nothing. I've already got clients. Like, I'm freelancing. I don't need this. It's a waste of my time. So, and now I've heard so many other people have bad experiences. So I'm like, nah, there needs to be a better system where I live. I'm sure it's different in America. I'm sure it's different in other cities in Australia. But I would like to provide, even if it's like an online course, something when I get to that point, providing actually like a proper way of like how to teach people, like, because I know like that I've been in the industry this long now, I know the skills you need and the skills that are pointless teaching, because you'll never actually, you know, it might be handy to know, but you don't need it in practice. So I'd like to do that. I'd like to end doing that. I don't know how it's like. I know it's like, I don't want to be viewed as like, oh, like I'm teaching people, like I think I'm better than people, but it's definitely not that. I just kind of want to be able to give back. Passion, or kind of like the Holy Grail project you mentioned was, I honestly now with like, it changes a lot. I know I always wanted to be like, I want to do something for like a Jordan shoe. That was like, I don't know why, like, I don't even know what I'd do, but that was kind of just like, I had a bucket list growing up and that's the only thing that's left on my bucket list. It was just literally design a Jordan shoe. And I know that will never happen because I'm not a footwear designer. So I don't know. It's just a stupid thing that I put on a bucket list, but that's the only thing that I got left. But now with like the Project 2020 coming up, I feel like now I've just got this like fuel and desire to like do basketball cards. Cause I was like, I'm doing baseball cards, which are great because they're just so iconic and so cool. But now it's just like, I need to do basketball cards. Like, there's so, like, it's just like got this like love and interest back in like how I collected when I was younger. And like, I have actually done one card set. It was a Kobe Bryant hero versus villain. I designed that set. But that was just a Kobe set. Like, it wasn't an actual broad NBA set. It was just like a limited edition kind of smaller series. So it'd be kind of pretty cool to do an NBA set, but I understand, like, you know, it's not like the old days where like there'd be like six trading card companies making NBA stuff. Now it's Panini only. Panini's the only people that can make NBA cards under their current contract. So I understand those limitations, but who knows, maybe they kind of see what's happening with Project 2020 and maybe they do a basketball one and maybe they do a Project 2025 or something. I don't know. But it'd just be wild to see some of these basketball cards being remade.
That would be... Sorry, I don't know what just happened there.
Something's going on.
Yeah. But anyway, I would be so excited if you did a basketball set of current players. My boyfriend collects Jordan and We're the House of Jordans, but I collect mostly and pretty much only Luka Doncic. So.
Okay.
So if you did a current basketball set, I would freak out and I'd be like, I need that one of one. Like, I need the Tyson Beck, Luka one of one.
Hopefully it comes out. I don't know. Who really knows? I'm not exclusive to Tops. I'm not. Okay. Like, I've done stuff for Panini. I've done a lot of stuff for Panini Authentic, their memorabilia line. So I'm definitely not like contracted to Tops where I can't work for Panini. I don't have that in my contract, so who knows. But I mean, I'd love to kind of remake old cards or even put like the new players in old cards, like a Luka Doncic in like one of the old cards. So I think that would be cool as well. But I don't know, for me basketball cards. That's the holy grail.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Tyson, for being with us. It was such a pleasure. If there's anything House of Jordans can ever do for you, please never hesitate. You are, like I said, our favorite designer of cards. We're so excited. When I found out about Project 2020 from listeners, I don't follow baseball, so I didn't know it was happening. So yeah. I was late to the train. But when I found out, I immediately scrolled through and I was like, oh, there he is. Okay. Definitely paying attention to the set now.
I don't know if the last name on the list as well, because it was in alphabetical order of the first name. So it was just like, I was the last person on the list. So that was kind of cool. If you were scrolling down, it was a nice little surprise at the end of the list. But I really appreciate those kind comments. I mean, yeah, that's definitely humbling to hear, and very appreciative of the opportunity to jump on, speak to you. It's always good to kind of talk design, talk trading cards. It's just stuff it's literally my life. It's stuff that I enjoy and stuff that you enjoy. So it's kind of great to always have that conversation.
For sure. So thank you again. And if you could just say listen to House of Jordans, I would appreciate it.
Okay. Listen to House of Jordans.
All right. Thank you so much. I'm going to hit you fast.
Yeah, no worries.